Well, good morning. So good to be with you this morning. So good to be in the presence of God. And so good to just visit his word with you today. Just so honored to serve and to be a part of this church family. So honored to see God moving in the lives of people and changing lives. So grateful for the precious people that were baptized this morning. And so grateful for the precious people that went through the Momentum class, which is just our on-ramp to connecting to this church family and discovering God's purpose, God's freedom, and God's future for your life. So if you're yet to have the opportunity to go through that, if you're relatively new or just haven't had a chance, we want to celebrate you. We want to invite you. There's an open invitation for you to be a part of that. And just believing for God to just continue to move mightily in our church and mightily in our city. Come on, I believe. It might seem impossible. If we look by sight, it might seem impossible with men, but I believe that Lawrence can be saved for Jesus Christ. I believe that Lawrence can be changed in Jesus Christ. And so just so excited and honored to be a part of what he's doing. Let's see, where do I want you to turn? How about turn to Joshua chapter 6? That's definitely a theme scripture for our message this morning. And you know, God's moving, God's doing something, God's building his church, God's building our lives. He's leading us into some things. And we're believing, as you hear me say often, for a revival, an awakening, an outpouring of God's Spirit, a revival that's characterized. It means we'll know what's happening. It's evidenced by many, many precious people being saved. And not just saved, but then healed of things that have hindered them or held them down or weighed heavily upon them and set free from things. And then strengthened, and that involves connecting to spiritual family. It involves being discipled and equipped to know their God and to know his word and to know his ways and to know his purpose for their life. But can I just back up and just remind you, we're a family. Everything that we're doing is God's called us to reach and to rescue people, to train them how to reign in Christ and to begin to restore things that are broken down in our culture. And as he's called us to be a people of prayer and a people of praise and a people of God's power and a people that are connected to God's purpose, all of that he's called us to do and that who he's called us to be, it's all because we're family. It's all because God's a good father. It's all because he's building a family. He loved you so much and he wanted you to be a part of his family so desperately that he sent his son Jesus to make a way. To overcome our sin, to overcome our past, to overcome our shame, and to make a way that we could be renewed and redeemed and restored and reconnected to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's his chosen analogy for revealing his heart towards us as his people. He's building a family. He's building a family. And in times of cultural decay, God always builds something to preserve his people. And then the times of Noah and the days of Noah, he built an ark. But then he asked, who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And Peter answered correctly. And he said, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. And he said, you've answered correctly. You'll no longer be Simon. You'll be Peter. And upon this rock, and how many of you know the rock wasn't Peter? The rock was the revelation that of who Jesus was. And he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He's building something. He's building something. Now listen, what he's building, he said, was the church. And the church is not a building. The church is a family. The church is you. The church is me. Listen, some of you, that's not landing in your heart. And I'm just telling you this morning that the message I'm about to bring, and hopefully you can see it or hear it or discern it in my spirit this morning, I want that to land in your heart this morning. That God has a part for you to play. That God intends for you to be part of this family. That for our family to really do and be what he's called and intends for our family to do and to be in this city, in this time, in this season that he's calling every one of us. Even as we make room at the table, which is one of the things that God's been prophetically speaking over our church, that he desires to, it's a good table, it's a good banquet, it's a good place. And he desires for us to put a leaf on the table and make room to welcome other people from our city and our region to come and see and experience Jesus and to come and connect to the family that we're a part of. It's a good family. You have a part to play. It's what we celebrated this morning, God bringing new precious people that are taking steps of faith towards Christ and getting connected to this spiritual family and trusting God for their future in every area of their life. We are the church. 1 Peter 2:5. Says this, you yourselves like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You know, I think it's interesting that he uses the word stones right there instead of bricks, because that word's also used in the Bible. And I just think it's interesting because when you think about bricks, there's a lot more uniformity to bricks. But when you think about stones, they all come from the same source, but they're different sizes, they're different shapes, they're different hues. You have to kind of be a little bit more creative in how to put them together and piece them together. With bricks, it's just kind of just like one upon the next. But he says, you're living stones. And there are unique shapes and sizes and colors to every one of the people of the family of God. But God intends for the stones to come together and be built into this spiritual house that's pleasing to God. And that stands as a city on a hill shining brightly to the city of Lawrence and every town and every community in our surrounding region. The church is not a building. The church is you. The church is me. And God's building a family. He's building our lives. So the title of my message this morning is this: Under Construction. Under Construction. And the subtitle is this: What Do You See? What do you see? Hebrews 3, verse 3 and 4 says this: Every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. And you know, when you're buying a house, especially a new house, you know that one of the most significant questions that you can ask and should ask is, who was the builder? The reputation of the builder sometimes means more and says more about the quality of the house, not just short-term, but long-term, than what you can see with your own eyes. Who is the builder? Who's building your life? Who are you partnering with to build your life? Listen, God, this is a corporate message. There's vision, there's prophetic in here, but this is for you personally. God's not done with you. Come on, I'm so grateful that God's not finished with me. I'm so grateful that what he's already done in my life is now just the beginning. It's wherever you're at in God, it's always the foundation for what he desires to continue to do in your life. He's limitless. No matter how much you apprehend, no matter how much you understand, no matter how much you've experienced in God, there's always more. He desires to do more. He's building your life. He's building this church, but the church is made up of living stones. That's you. That's me. That's your neighbor to your left and your right. That's your spouse, regardless of where they are today in God. That's your kids, regardless of where they are today in God. Come on, he's doing something. He's building something. A house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. He's not done with us. He desires for us to grow to spiritual maturity. He desires for us to grow in the places where we're weak and in the places where we're strong. He's building, he's growing, he's changing us. The Bible says in Psalm 84 that blessed are those whose strength is in him. And then two verses later in verse 7, it says they will go from strength to strength. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says that we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord Jesus. He's our example, he's our model, he's what we should desire to become and be like. Are being transformed, it continues to say, into the same image from glory to glory. He wants you to go from strength to strength. He wants you to go from glory to glory. Just as the Lord, the Spirit, listen, he's building our church and he's building our lives. Listen, God's done some amazing things in our church. God's moved in mighty ways in this city in previous times. There's been an outpouring of God's Spirit. There were a group of young people back in the 70s that began to hunger and thirst after God and be recklessly abandoned to him. And whatever they read in God's word and whenever they saw an opportunity, they were willing to take it. And God used them mightily. And it's the reason that we're gathered in this building today, because of the faith of a previous generation. God desires to do something mighty. You know, you have something in your bulletin this morning that's significant. And this is an exciting season of faith in our church. There's some significant dates that are marked out here. And I want to encourage you as a family, just as you would get an invitation to a family reunion, just as you would get an invitation to a family wedding, just as you would get an invitation to a birthday party in your family, to consider this an invitation to significant days in the future of our church, and to begin to look into your calendar and maybe even circle your calendar, put it in your phone, prioritize it a little bit differently than you might some other Sundays. And it starts on Sunday, August 27th, when I began to go to our staff and specifically to Nathan Hammer, and I began to ask him to begin to reach out to you guys. And so we put in the bulletin saying, share testimonies. We're looking for pictures. We're looking for testimonies. We're looking for people who were present when God did some things in the past and God called our church out to steps of faith. And I said, let's begin to document that, because what God's doing is going to be built upon the heritage of faith, the legacy of faith, the foundation of faith that we already have in our church, the seasons past, the spiritual dads and spiritual moms who previously stepped out in faith to trust God and believe God and serve God. And so on Sunday, August 27th, there's a few of us that have begun to see, and it's under construction. But Nathan has it probably, I would say, 80% completed. And there's a few of us that have had a chance to watch the draft of it. And every one of us that have had a chance to view it are moved. Most of us to tears as we watch the stories and the testimonies. And we see people sharing some of the things that God did early in the life of our church and all through the life of our church. Ways he moved, ways he was faithful, ways he showed up in times where the people of God needed God to show up. And so on that Sunday, we're going to have a little bit of a different service. I'm not sure exactly how it all look. We'll finalize the details, but the main part of that service is going to be watching this moving documentary film of the testimonies of God's faithfulness to our church throughout the years, throughout 45 years of a rich and vibrant history. And I believe God's going to use it in a significant way to remind us of some things and to strengthen and encourage us in our faith for what he desires to do in our church. And he's not done with us yet. He's building this church. He's not done building it. He's building our lives, and he's not done building you. And so then on Sunday, September 10th, you've been hearing me talk about it. I'm so grateful. I've heard from many of you and some of you that come to the prayer gathering on Wednesday. I've heard from some of you just saying, hey, we're praying. We're praying. We're trusting God. And I've asked you to be praying for us as we engage with an architectural firm, and we just begin to ask them to help us design and draw up plans for how we can steward and update our building. We're blessed to have this building and to own it outright, but I believe in many ways it's the season for us to begin to look around and say, all right, God, it's time for us with a heart filled with gratitude and a heart filled with appreciation for the way that you've moved in previous seasons and with a heart to steward in an excellent way, because how many know God deserves our very best? He doesn't deserve our seconds. He deserves our first, and he deserves our best. Have you know the precious people that we're reaching out to in our city and inviting to come and to worship with us and to connect to our spiritual family? They deserve our very best. And so we're looking around beginning to say, Lord, we're thankful and grateful for what we have. How can we best steward it? How can we begin to improve it? I believe that God's calling us to begin to step out and to step in faith and begin to paint the walls and refresh and replace the carpet and begin to invest in our children's ministry. It's okay, but if you look very close, you'll see that there's been life that's been happening back there for 20 years. There have been, you know, that's a good thing, you know. Can I just tell you? Hopefully it's not the last time we have to replace the carpet. That's a sign of life. The Bible talks about the fact that the stall can stay clean if there's no oxen there, but when there's oxen, when there's life happening there, when there's people in and out, you're going to have some messes, and hopefully it's not the last time we have to paint the walls and replace the carpet, because there's so much life happening. There's so many people coming into God's family. There's so many people coming and experiencing what it means to connect to God and discover how to live fully alive in his purposes for their life and what it means to become connected to a spiritual family. It won't be the last time. But on September 10th, I'm so encouraged and excited. There's been a couple delays and a couple frustrations, but recently I've been so pleased and so excited, so thankful to some of the staff that have been walking it out. And they took me to a meeting where they began to just show us some of the things. They began to show us some of the renderings. They began to show us some of the materials. They began to show us some of, and they're working hard at it right now to create digital renderings and models and portraits that they're going to begin to provide for us. And on that morning, on that Sunday morning, Sunday, September 10th, we're going to begin to unveil it. We're going to begin to share it with you. We're going to begin to cast vision. We're going to begin to ask you in a fervent way, in a focused way, to begin to pray and ask God for personal faith. Begin to pray and ask God how God could use you to support and to serve the vision. And then on September 24th, we're going to gather together with a heart of gratitude for everything that God's done and an eye towards the future. And we're going to take a significant step of faith, something that God's been speaking to our church leadership for a number of years, even predating my arrival here. at Mustard Seed Church here in Lawrence and begin to, we're going to celebrate that morning a new name that we believe God is calling for our church to be known by as we enter into a new season. It's not a better season. It's just a new season of ministry and faith for God to use us to bring transformation to our city and to our region. So it's an exciting season, but how many of you know it's going to require faith? And in some ways, it's going to be challenging. And so the message I'm bringing this morning is titled Under Construction. And the Lord just started speaking to me as I was going through a construction zone. It was actually over the weekends, I had a meeting in Kansas City that we were going to an appointment. And there was we needed to get somewhere at a certain time. And we ran into construction. And as we slowed down in the construction zone, and God just began just speaking to me, just saying, sometimes construction zones are inconvenient. Sometimes going through a time of construction can be challenging. Listen, God's building something. God sees something that the challenge for us is partnering with God with what he sees. He sees the precious people that he wants to save. He sees the people in our community that he wants to reach. He sees what Lawrence looks like, fully alive in Christ and shining brightly in the purposes of God. He sees that. And the challenge for us, because we see just such limited, we see in part, is to activate our faith and begin to partner with God and say, God, what you see, what you're speaking, what you're calling us to, we want to be part of that. Don't let us become satisfied. Don't let us get stuck. Don't let us become complacent with where we are. We know you're building. We know you're constructing. We know you're not done with us yet. We know there's some chapters that you still intend to write. We know that there's a lot of good things you've already done, but there are new things that you desire to do. God's a builder. He's building you. But unfortunately, listen, come on. Is there anyone here that really just likes going through construction zones? I mean, because if you do, I mean, maybe we just have some freedom and deliverance time for you after the service here. We'll call the ministry team for it. But can I encourage you with something that God shared with me? I mean, just recently, quickly just began to just kind of default to the frustration that you feel when you go through the construction zone, you know, and the four lanes are one, and there's barriers, and there's a slowdown, and there's congestion, and there's frustration, and I began to quickly just kind of gravitate to the default, which is the frustration. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart, and he said, you ought to see progress. He said, you ought to be grateful that there's progress. You ought to be grateful that there's a vision. You ought to be grateful that there's a sacrifice that's being made in the short term in this season so that more people can get to where I want them to go. We oftentimes sense frustration because progress almost always feels inconvenient. Growth almost always involves discomfort. There's times when my little boy, you know, he's not so little anymore. He's about to be 11 and we're about to have to buy him a new bed, you know. He's like stretching out and his feet are almost hanging off the end of the bed. And there's times where he just say, my legs are just kind of aching, you know. And I know what it is. It's because those bones and everything that's associated with it are growing and stretching out. There's almost always discomfort that comes along with growth. Listen, let me tell you, going through a construction zone can be challenging. But when we begin to embrace the vision of what God's doing, we can begin to walk through it and understand some of the challenges, some of the pain, some of the discomfort. It's temporary. It's part of where God's taking us. Listen, let me encourage you with something you've heard me say before, but fits in this message and deserves to be said again. If it does not challenge you, it will rarely change you. If it's comfortable, if it's status quo, if it's something you've already been, somewhere you've already been, if it's something you already know, it's rarely going to change you. But certain seasons, God will challenge you. And the charge for us is to see what God's doing and to embrace the process and say, God, I know you see differently. You see bigger. You see wider. Greater are your thoughts. Higher your ways than my own ways. I'm embracing the process, though it may be inconvenient. Though it may require some sacrifice. Though it may require a different route for a season. Though it may require some adjustments. Progress almost always feels inconvenient. Personally and corporately, God is challenging us in some things. In your marriage, in your finances, maybe God's calling you to a new route. Maybe God's calling you to try some new things. Maybe God's calling you to a new season of just different ways of stepping out in faith and serving God. Maybe God's calling you to go beyond just being occasionally attending a church on Sunday morning and become a more vibrant part of what God's doing in the midst of a spiritual family. Maybe God's calling you to go beyond just occasionally coming to church on a Sunday morning. He's calling you to become a part of a life group on Wednesday night or Friday morning or whenever it fits your schedule and begin to engage with spiritual family and begin to share your life and begin to share the testimonies of what God's done in your life and begin to encourage others and begin to look for the places where God would use you to begin to serve and make a difference. How many of you know that you find your life in God's kingdom when you begin to give it away? Anytime God calls you to something that seems challenging or that seems like it's going to be an inconvenience or seems that it's going to require sacrifice, he's never trying to get something out of you. He's always trying to get something to you. He's always trying to take you somewhere. He's always trying to get you to something. Come on, we're under construction. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm under construction. Look at your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, you're under construction. Come on, God's building our lives. God's building this church. God's building his kingdom. Progress almost always seems inconvenient. Listen, I want to ask you a question, the subtitle of my message title this morning. What do you see? What do you see? Joshua chapter 6, we visited it last week, but it deserves to be visited again. The gates of Jericho, it says in verse 1 and 2, were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came in. Listen, that sound, it's locked up tight, maybe. It's locked up. But then read on. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Is that the way things looked in the natural? In the natural, the walls stood strong. The gates were barred and secured. Some of the things that God had promised, some of the things that God had called the people of God to seemed like an impossibility, but he's already causing and calling the people of God through Joshua. He's saying, see? He's saying, can you see it? Can you see what I'm going to do in spite of what it looks like right now? Can you begin to see what I'm up to? Faith is the confidence. It's the substance. It's the assurance in what we hope for. It's the assurance, the certainty, the conviction about we are yet to see. Listen, when I'm going through a construction zone, I'm talking practically and spiritually. I'm just choosing to have a better attitude next time. I'm choosing to see progress. I've determined to appreciate that progress is happening. That sometimes you get to see it at 5 miles an hour for 30 minutes, you know. But I'm choosing to appreciate that progress is happening. So quickly, I want to lead you through some things that are required to partner with God when he's got you under construction. One is vision. Just as he called out to Joshua, you've got to see what God's doing in your life. You've got to see what God's doing in our church. You've got to see what God wants to do in our city, even before it begins to happen. See the need. This city needs Jesus. God's calling us to make more room at the table because there are tens of thousands of people in our city that need Jesus Christ. See the need. See what's possible. See who we could reach. See what could happen. See how our city could be different. See how our city could be a shining light of what it looks like for a city to call out to God and be changed and restored. See what it looks like for a city that's currently known by some other things. I'll let you fill in the blanks. To become known as a city where there's a revival of God's Spirit, where there's an outpouring of God's Spirit, where there's an awakening of God's people, where there's a revival of many people being saved, where the people are being healed spiritually, physically, emotionally, from all kinds of stuff that seem impossible with man. And people are giving the glory, not to ourselves, but to Jesus Christ. Begin to see what the city of Lawrence looks like when that begins to happen and when we're used of God to be a part of it, because we humble ourselves and we pray and we turn from our wicked ways and we seek his face and God hears from heaven and he comes and heals our land. Come on, clap to God. We got to have vision. What's possible when we dream together, unite together, serve together, arm in arm as a family, believe together? What's possible and give together? We got to have a blueprint, a construction plan. It's the very word of God. It's right here. This is what we're building this church upon. This is what we're building our lives upon. This is what we're building our marriages upon. This is what we're raising our children according to, the very word of God. It's unshakable. It's unchangeable. It's immutable. It's the very life of God. It's the breath of God. It's the word of God. It's the will of God. It's the way of God revealed to us. It's the word of God that is the blueprint for our construction. The cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20 says, the house is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself, and that will never change. The third thing that will be required of us as we're under construction is sacrifice. We got to be willing to sacrifice. This is where it gets personal. We got to be willing to sacrifice our own preferences. Have to be willing to sacrifice our preferences, our time, our resources. Listen, anywhere, can I have the worship team go ahead and come up? Just prepare to dismiss us here in a moment with a brief chorus. And listen, anywhere where you are able to just hop on a 4-lane highway and cruise 70 miles an hour, because I know none of you would ever speed, right? Anywhere where you're able to just jump on that interstate highway and just get to where you're going quicker than any other route, anywhere where you're able to do that, there was a season that came before where there was a sacrifice. There was a season where that highway was under construction and commuters were sacrificing for the future of others. Anywhere there's a 3-lane, 4-lane, 5-lane highway, there was almost always previously a 2-lane road, sometimes a 1-lane road. Come on, I'm a farm boy from West Texas, and the roads that we have out on the farm are 1-lane. You pull over to the side to let the grain truck go by. The bigger the truck, that's who pulls over to the side? The guy with the smaller truck. The bigger truck owns a right-of-way. Anywhere where there's a 5-lane mega highway, there was almost always a 1- or 2-lane road. And at some point, at some season, there was faith, there was a vision, there was a perceived need that there's growth that's happening in our city. Come on, I'm using a practical analogy to land a spiritual point in our hearts this morning. There was vision to kind of look out to the outskirts of town and say, our city's growing this way, and to facilitate growth, we're going to go and begin to invest in the infrastructure, because if we don't, if we wait, we'll be behind the curve. God's calling us to step out in faith. There's a city that needs Jesus Christ. There's a nation that needs Jesus Christ. There's a region that needs a church that's fully alive and shining brightly and inviting people to come and experience the life of God. We'll have to have vision. We'll have to build it upon God's word. We'll have to have sacrifice, and we'll have to have faith. A willingness to see something that compels us to step out. An ability to see what God's up to in a way that causes us to step out and begin. Come on, one of the values of our church family is that we're going to dream big and start small. Come on, wherever you are this morning, in your marriage, in your finances, in your life, God's got something. He sees what he wants to build in your life. And the most important step, the most important step, don't let the enemy bring discouragement to you, because it might seem far off what God wants to do. It might seem far off. You might seem like you've gotten really off track. Can I encourage you this morning? The most important step is always the first or the next step. Just take a step towards Christ. Just get involved in a life group this fall. Just sign up to be water baptized. Just sign up to go to Momentum. Just begin to take those steps towards Christ. And just watch how, as you just take the first step, and then you take the next step, and then you take the next step towards what God begins to show you in your mind and in your spirit, what he desires to do. You'll look up one day and you'll be like, wow, look what God's done. I remember where I was. I remember what our marriage was like. I remember when we had that mountain of debt. I remember when I felt isolated and rejected. I remember what it felt like to be back there, and now look where I'm at. God's healed us, and God's restored us, and God's moved miraculously to provide for us, and God's gotten me connected to a family, and God's got me connected to a sense of purpose like I've never had before. Just take the first step and the next step. We got to have that kind of faith. Come on, can I have the people of God stand up in faith this morning and stand to your feet? And I want to, as we prepare to just sing this song before we dismiss, I want to just ask, give you a moment and ask you to just have a moment with the Holy Spirit this morning. And first of all, just broadly, just say, Lord, what are you speaking to me through this message? What are you speaking to me? Because inevitably, a message that's brought corporately like this, there's some specific things and angles that God's really speaking. He's reaching out to you. He's reaching into your heart. He's reminding you of some things. He's revealing some things to you that are specific to your situation. that are specific to your direction, that are specific to your home or your marriage or your family or your finance. Lord, what are you speaking to me? And I believe that this morning God wants to stir faith, the kind of faith that Joshua and Caleb had, the kind of faith that God was calling Joshua and the people of Israel to begin to see something that God wants to do in your life. And I'm telling you, we are the people of God, and we are a people of faith, and we don't live by sight. We live and walk by faith. And so today, God, I thank you for beginning to just show some people some things. Just begin revealing some things to people. Begin to give people a vision of what you desire for their marriage to look like. Begin to give people a vision of what you desire for their life to look like, fully alive and shining brightly in you. Come on, I believe God's just going to begin to just remind you of some things or reveal some things in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, with your kids this morning. And then I want you to just ask God, how can I begin to partner with you? How can I maybe begin to overcome the perspective of frustration and begin to actually not hold you at arm's length when you are calling me to inconvenient or uncomfortable situations, but begin to say, God, what are you up to? I trust you, and I know you've got a good plan for my life, and I know you're leading me to something. How can I begin to partner with you? Some places I believe that the Holy Spirit, before he can begin to build the 3-lane highway, he's got to do some demo on the 1-lane road. There's some places in our hearts. There's some places in our minds. There's some strongholds or hindrances that this morning the Holy Spirit, listen, the reason he comes in and he wants to do that demo is because he has a vision for what can be. He has a vision in his heart for what he wants to build in your life. So this morning, if the Holy Spirit's just highlighting something like that to you, would you just trust God for grace and for a faith to just leave it at the altar this morning, to leave it in the presence of God this morning, to begin to open up your heart in a new way or a fresh way and say, God, come on. Come on, come build in me. I'm grateful you're not done with me. And in the ways I've held back or shrunk back or lacked faith, God, thank you for stirring me today to begin to partner with you in what you desire to do in my life. Well, I want the worship team to lead us in this song about the greatness of the love of God. I want to do something today. I want to just open up the altar for anyone that wants to respond. During this song, if you feel compelled, just come. Feel free to just come forward. I want this to be open this morning. It might be one or two of you. It might be 20 or 30 of you. Who knows? Or something in between. But just to open up the altar to just come before the Lord this morning. Maybe you're laying something down, or maybe you're just coming and saying, Lord, some of these things are going to be challenging for me. Would you heal my heart and stir my faith? And then Pastor Eli will come up after we worship in this song, and he'll invite the ministry team to come forward as we dismiss. But worship team, lead us in this song. Be reminded, people of God, God's love is so good. His plans are so good towards us as individuals and as a church. He's building something, and it's really, really, really going to be special. What he's doing in your life, what he's doing in your home, it's special. So, Lord, we thank you. We're so grateful. You love us so much, God, that you won't allow us to get stuck. Leading us forward, God, to the new things, to the deeper things, to the greater things that you have in your heart for us.